Welcome, everyone. Let's see. Yeah, we're running a little tight for time, so I'm not going to say too much. What I would like to do is I would like to ask anyone here who has been involved in working in the guest worker ministry to quickly stand up. Anybody in the congregation that's worked in the guest worker ministry? Yeah, our sister Rosa comes out from London. Thank you. Okay, everybody can be seated now. Thank you. Just so you know that it's not just Deb and I. There's other members of the congregation involved here in Forest and a number of people from the Latin Church in West Park Baptist come out, including Angelica and her husband Mario, pastors at the church there. There's a lot of people made some remarks to me when they found out we were going on the trip. They were concerned about our safety, things like that. What I prefer to think of Mexico happened in the park in Cuernavaca. We were out walking, and we sat down on a park bench. The park was full of people, mariachi singers, couples, elderly people, shoe shine guys. I tried to get my shoes shined, but they were kind of a plush thing, so that didn't work out. And what I saw as I looked out from the bench I was sitting in was a young couple with a baby sitting on a bench across from me, about to Pastor Mark away. And they were feeding the baby and talking and enjoying the weather. And then they framed a scene behind them, which was a mother and a father and about an 8-year-old boy, and they were dancing to the mariachi music, twirling around and just having fun laughing. That's what I remember about Mexico. Not the other stuff you hear in the news. The people there are warm, welcoming, and appreciative of everything that happens with their loved ones here in Canada. There's a lot more I could say, but I'm not going to. I'm going to read a bit of scripture, and then I'll introduce the team. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That verse I highlighted about 10 years ago in the jungle in Guatemala in the rainforest, in a place called San Marcos. This marks the 17th year that since we went on our first mission trip in another area of Guatemala, in the bush. It has been an interesting trip through those 17 years. It will continue, I'm sure. There's no retirement age in this work. And we're looking forward to the next activity that God lays on our heart to take international. Now, I would like to introduce the team. Oh, there's one other thing that I have to mention. Our primary purpose is to reach out to people that come here from the Latin countries. God put this on us 17 years ago. Two, we provide a home church for the workers when they're here in Canada. We had a new guy last night from Asable Produce, Abel. He's a believer from Chiapas. He came along with Juan Pablo, who became a believer in this ministry here in Canada. And we give encouragement to the families back home when we go and visit them. One guy we went to meet, you might hear a little more from somebody else about him. His entire family are Christians. They live up on a mountain. We had to go by cab, then we had to hike to get up to the house. And the entire family came out. We started. Thanks, Deb. We started at about 6 a.m. on a commuter bus from a place called Temixco into Cuernavaca. Then we went by another bus, into, I don't even remember the name of the town, but you know what? Some pesky Canadian, what? What was the name of that? Tepoztlan? Close enough? Okay. Some pesky Canadian was there looking at the Aztec ruins that are on top of the mountain that you can see from down in the town, which that's, I guess it's about a mile away. They had to put guards on this Aztec ruin site to keep people from going down the tunnels because the Canadian went down the tunnel and got lost and they had to bring in a rescue team to find them. So we're everywhere. Canadians are everywhere. We're hiding in the tunnels in the Aztec ruins. We're all over the place. Now, I'd like to call the whole team up that went to Mexico with us, and I'll introduce them. Now, there's one member of the team. Come on up. There's one member of the team that I can't introduce because she's from Peru, and she flew back home. She was sponsored to come along on our trip, and we found out a short time before we left. So on the far end, we have Pastor Luis Rivas. You've seen him around before in the past, I'm sure. And then Pastor Vacadano's wife, Angelica, and I don't know how to pronounce your last name properly.
No,
it's okay. And I think you know this lady. So I will step back now and we'll let Luis take over.
Just give me a sign.
Yep. So I don't think I have to translate.
Oh, well, thank you. God bless you all. May God bless the church. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So we're here to be blessed, right? To be blessed with the things that we do in many different ways and how we advance in the kingdom of heaven and what we are doing, you know, in order to accomplish the mission. ¿Verdad? ¿Qué hacemos para completar la misión que Dios nos ha dado? ¿Ah? ¿Verdad? Entonces, so we visit three places, Xochitepec, Cuernavaca, and Nanacamilpa, which is in Tlaxcala, and they are in a circumference of driving 2.5 hours to get to each place, kind of. So we went to Cuernavaca. We have a campaign. We work with Pastor David Aponte, and he is part of a big organization that has 1,000 churches like sign it with them and working together. In fact, after we left, the two pastors that we met, they went to a convention to meet for unity of the church. So we work with Pastor David Aponte. We have a visitations. We did a campaign, like preach, you know, outside. Praise God. Their souls came to Christ on this work, so praise God for that. And we were at his church. He was commemorating 23 years of existence, so anniversary of the church. So we were lucky to be part of it, and they have invited a lot of people. We actually were our mission was to meet most of the fellows that we are ministering here in Canada to see if we can connect with them back home and meet their families and their wives and their communities. So we were very, very lucky because even though we move along and did a lot of activities, so we can catch up and we have to divide the team a little bit at some point so we can see different families. And so it was great, you know. It was like a machine well lubricate kind of thing working. And we were able to reach a lot of these families. And in Cuernavaca, when we have this anniversary event, they came. Some of the men came with their wives and their families to visit us. So it was great to see and make that, like, it seems like this is our second trip for me. For Steve, it's like the third trip. we were able to expand a little bit more of what we did on the first trip, especially consolidating the part with working with Pastor David Aponte from Cuernavaca, a very serious and responsible man. And then we went to Nanacamilpa, which is a town where it's very joyful and 18 degrees during the day, sunny, great to be walking, you know, down the street. But at night goes to zero or minus two, and there's no like heating elements to help. So everything is cold. Everything you touch is cold, right? But it was great. We were there for like 3 days, and then again we had to split the team a little bit on one day. But we did also work with Pastor Elias Ferrer and his family, wonderful family. That's where we stay, at their family house. And so we work 3 days intensively with the town, Nanacamilpa. It's a beautiful town where it's pretty much isolated. To get there, you know, you have to take a road, and you know that you're not going anywhere else, right? You have to go to the town of Nanacamilpa. So they have a festivity. The town has their festivity. They were celebrating their what was it again? Like I, yeah, the whole town was in celebration. So they were like, we would hear the mortars in the air, you know, going like every time, like at nighttime. There was a time that was the whole night. So I guess we will know which day is that. So the next time we'll figure it out to go on a different day. Praise God. But so out of that, we did a lot of visitations, and we find out more about God consolidates some of the stuff that we are praying for, and what is it that we're doing? Why are we doing these missions? And realizing, again, we meet some of their men and their families back in Nanacamilpa, and it was great. So we were able to introduce it to pastors. And distance didn't, you know, be an obstacle to build up the network that we have started. So it seems like it was very joyful to do this, and the results were amazing to see, you know, a lot of families very happy, and the churches were liberated, I will say, of certain things that they were, and it was more and more. It grows up in 3 days. We did a campaign in front of the church, and the municipality put us the tarts so that we could be, you know, out of the sun. So it was great to see that the city, even though that they were going through all this commotion of, they have closed the streets and stuff like that. So it was kind of neat to see that, to be part of the culture, be, you know, there and walking and experiencing everything. Nanacamilpa has a lot of issues and problems, but when we talk about us working together to help to the community, to give something to the community, what's their needs, and the pastor, the Elias Ferrer, is very excited. Their church is already built up to 3 floors, and half of the church is to actually minister, to do, you know, rooms of to have classrooms, or it's pretty much the equipment itself to be better for the community. And there's lots of room for us to help and improve what they are doing. And also they are planning to buy the land that is in front of them, and it looks really nice. They want to start up a school, a Christian school in town. It will be the first Christian school in town. So, but I mean, there's a lot to talk, and I know everybody likes to say something, so I will step out so someone else can. But praise God, keep on praying for us. You know, this is projects that we have started a few years back, and that God will actually bear the fruits for us, you know, and we'll see it, and we'll give him the glory. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to call Mike and Frank. You're going to get a special treat tonight. You won't be able to understand the words. These gentlemen, these brothers, are brothers in Christ to us from Guatemala. Their church does not use musical instruments. They sing a cappella. I was inspired to have them here because they auditioned for me and they didn't even know it. When they were riding in the back seat of my car on a Saturday night, they were going in to spend the night in London and go to West Park in the morning. So, gentlemen, I'm proud of
Thank you, Edward.
And Mike's got a little bit of English, too.
Señor mi Dios, al contemplar los cielos, el firmamento y las estrellas mil, oír tu voz en los potentes truenos y ver brillar el sol en su cenit, mi corazón entona esta canción. Cuán grande es él, cuán grande es él. Mi corazón entona esta canción. Cuán grande es él, cuán grande y fiel. Murió por mí, qué grande maravilla. Oh, qué amor al más vil pecador. Ahora gozo paz y eterna vida. Por fe en mí, bendito Salvador. Mi corazón entona esta canción. Cuán grande es él, cuán grande es él. Mi corazón entona esta canción. Cuán grande es él, cuán grande y fiel. Cuando el Señor me llame a su presencia, al dulce hogar, al cielo de esplendor, le adoraré cantando la grandeza de su poder y su infinito amor. Mi corazón entona esta canción. Cuán grande es él, cuán grande es él. Mi corazón entona esta canción. Cuán grande es él, cuán grande y fiel. Paz con Dios busqué ganarla, con febril solicitud. Mas mis obras meritorias no me dieron la salud. Oh, qué paz Jesús me da. Paz que yo antes ignoré. Todo nuevo se tornó. Desde que su paz hallé, lleno estaba yo de dudas, sin sosiego percibir. Hoy en paz, mañana triste, con temor del porvenir. Oh, qué paz Jesús me da. Paz que yo antes ignoré. Todo nuevo se tornó. Que su paz hallé, al final en desespero, ya no puedo, dije yo, y del cielo y respuesta. Ya quedó. Oh, qué paz Jesús me da. Paz que yo antes ignoré. Todo nuevo se tornó. Su paz hallé. Años mi alma en vanidad vivió, ignorando a quien por mí sufrió. Oh, que en el Calvario sucumbió el Salvador. Mi alma y divina gracia yo, Dios allí perdón y paz me dio. Del pecado allí me libertó el Salvador. Por la Biblia miro que pequé, divina quebrante. Mi alma entonces contempló con fe al Salvador. Mi alma y divina gracia yo, Dios allí perdón y paz me dio. Del pecado allí me libertó el Salvador.
Next, we're going to have Angelica come up. Now, notice the screen. On the left, west park. On the right, what's that? Forest. Angelica and Mariel have been our partners for about 15 of the 17 years that we've had this ministry going, with a little hiatus when they were back in El Salvador for a while. Angelica worked very hard this week to prepare a slide presentation, and I won't stay up here any longer than this, and I'll let Angelica take over.
Hi, everyone. I don't know if I can use another microphone. Somebody from the... Because, oh, this is... It's okay. And let me see. Okay. Well, hi, everyone. I prefer the other one. It is possible to use the one of the other one? That's better. Thank you, Pastor. So... Thank you. Okay. Hi, everyone. Now I feel better. First of all, I want to say thank you to everyone because through Forest Baptist Church sponsor the trip for Pastor Rivas and I from Westpar. So we are so thankful for that great opportunity that God used you to go in Mexico. Also, I want to say, explain a little bit about what Steve was saying. My name is Angelica. My husband and I, Pastor Mario, we are pastor at Westpar Baptist Church in London since September 2015. I met Steve and Dev since 2005, with my husband and my family, we were here for 6 years. In 2011, we had to go back to El Salvador because we didn't have the permanent resident status. We were waiting there for 4 years. However, while we were waiting, and it was a miracle to won this status, I asked God, if you allow me to go to back to Canada, I say to the Lord, God, I want to continue working with the migrant workers ministry. It's a petition that I did in my heart because I have the privilege to be a student in the United States, and I know how you feel without all your family. I remember that I was 19 years old and I studied 4 years in the USA without my family, and I know how hard it is, you know, being a country where you don't know the language, where you don't have a family. So I ask God, please let me have the opportunity to continue working with this ministry. And I remember that we came back on December 2014, and soon we contacted Steve and Dev, and Steve say, Pastor Mario, welcome back, and here we have the ministry, we have a lot of work. At that moment, I want to confess you that we didn't have car, we didn't have a job, we didn't have resources to come back. And I asked my husband, how are we going to do ministry without car, without resources? But he say it is about faith. So by faith, we are here since 2015. We are working together with Dev and Steve again. And believe me, it has been every time that I come to Forest, or even as I want to explain this, migrant workers ministry, we have Forest, Manbridges, Charm right now, and other cities that we will open. But let me tell you that every time that we go, it is a big blessing, you know, to share the gospel with these people. And now that I have been so close with this migrant worker in Mexico, it brings a profound meaning to us. So you are here tonight for a reason. You are here tonight that because God will speak to you and how we will continue working together. Pastor start the meeting talking about unity. And you know, this migrant worker, this mission trip, it has been It has been performed due to the worker team, you know, Forest and Westpar Church. You know, together we went to Mexico. We didn't say we are Forest. We didn't say we are Westpar. We are here to support you. We are here to share the gospel of God. And I want to share what we did. Okay. So let me. In addition to the four of us, Pastora Dina Quispe from Peru was invited for Pastor Luis Rivas, and she did an amazing job with us. The three cities that we visited were Xochitepec, Cuernavaca, and Anacamilpa. Even for us that we speak Spanish, trust me, it is hard to pronounce because it was really hard. The first city, I never got it. So, but here I am. We want 50 people accepted Jesus, you know. 5 people came reconciled with Jesus. Praise God. We were preparing material for 200 children for Sunday school children, and we gave that material to 3 churches and 3 local missions. Praise the Lord. In total, we contact 12 migrant workers from Manbridges and Forest City. This is in Spanish, so my people from Guatemala will read perfectly, but here it is in English. We visit, Pastor Rivas mentioned, addiction center. We provided family counseling. We performed one evangelistic campaign. 2 Sunday services we performed, one in Cuernavaca and Anacamilpa, a leadership team teaching and 12 English classes because Dev stayed 1 week more. So we are arriving in Cuernavaca, and this is the person, Rogelio. Remember that he said he left 3 in the morning from his house to pick us at the airport in Mexico. And he's a chef, and he is running his own business with these cookies, very delicious cookies. So he's starting his business with cookies. Cuernavaca was the first weekend. We coordinate all the activities with Pastor David Aponte, Iglesia Maranata. This was the breakfast, the very first nice breakfast in 3 or 4 days, but it was really nice. We are there with Pastor Elia Ferrer from Anacamilpa. He traveled like 4 or 5 hours to stay with us that weekend. This is in Cuernavaca. This is the addiction center, and I want to mention that in that service we stayed like 4 hours. It was a really tough, you know, the drugs and alcoholism people. And 20 person came to Jesus. 20 person, we provide a snack for them. We stayed like 5 hours maybe with them. It was really nice, very meaningful. And, you know, they were asking, when are you coming back? Are you coming back soon? And, you know, we couldn't, you know. But that's a main project that we have, maybe continue working with this addictions center. Here again is the there was only 1 lady. They are working. It's a very small center, and they are lacking of resources, and they are trying to improve their facilities. That's a very meaningful thought that they have. This is Cuernavaca. In Cuernavaca, as Pastor Rivas mentioned, they were celebrating anniversary. So this is one church that they came to join service in Cuernavaca. We were, you know, saying words to the church. With Cleo. Cleo is the leader of here from Forest. Cleo is the migrant worker who has been the key person, you know, to perform this project. So Clearings is why. These are the leaders in Cuernavaca City. We stay, we spend on Saturday evening talking about leadership topics with them. This is on Sunday for the Sunday school class. As you can see, all those resources we gave to them. This is a migrant worker from Manbridges. His name is Lalo. And in the middle, I don't know if I have another picture. Let me see. Yeah. And I am in the left. I am with Brother Victor and his son. Brother Victor, on November 27, he went back from Canada to Mexico. And you know, something so sad happened that day. On the 27, he arrived in Mexico. His wife was really sick. He took to the hospital. And the following day, his wife passed away. So he wanted to see us. I prayed, and I am so glad that his son came to Jesus on that Sunday too. And the other picture is with Cleo and Lalo and his wife. It was very nice to hear about his wife say that they see changes in their life, you know, with their husband. So it has been very nice. This is Cuernavaca. They were preparing the food for Sunday. Cuernavaca too. And this is we were taking public transportation. Pastor Rivas had the opportunity to share the gospel. That's what the second. The first one was very full of people, and he preached about 6 minutes. I have the video, but I'm not sharing today. This is in Xochitepec. This is Cleo and his brother Theo. They work, they live together, and we spend a lot of time with his family, providing family counseling, ministry them. They are really nice person. Brother Juan is in the center. Brother Juan is from Torreon. That weekend, he had to sign papers to come back to this year to work. So that's how he came, and we saw him. It was the first time for him to travel to Xochitepec. So he stayed overnight in Cleo's house and with us. And we gave a present to his family. There his brother Juan. This is Tepoztlán. Tepoztlán is there. We walked like 30 minutes because Cleo wanted to share some typical cheese, you know, typical cheese. And it was really nice. We spent the picnic with brother Artemio. Artemio and his wife. We are here in another house with Francisco house. She's preparing, her sister is preparing a traditional dish for us. The baby, this family, what I want to tell you, this baby that you see, she's 5 months old. She was born while his father was here, Francisco. And her mother was really sick. She suffered a lot. But those are the prices that they pay, you know, while they are here working, their mothers are father and mother, and they are the one who take care of the whole family. So that's Francisco family. Xochitepec events, we continue with Cleo's family. We did the special community event with children. Around 45 children came that evening. We presented, you know, the gospel. This is a pastor of apostolic church close to Cleo's community. That's the children's community event. That's a typical food that we provided to them. It was really nice, very meaningful. The whole community community was very happy. Dev teach some English class there, music, and we introduced the gospel to all this community. Thus happened in Xochitepec. Here we are traveling to see another migrant workers, and in the place we stop, we saw this couple, and Pastor Rivas gave money to the child. So we took advantage, his parents came to Jesus. It was really nice. You know, when you have a passion to God, God opens the doors to present his message. This is Artemio. Artemio was really meaningful for me. He said he has been praying and praying several years ago that we can visit them. And at that moment in January, his mother-in-law had a stroke, so he couldn't speak very well. So we prayed, and that's in that place there is no transportation that can go to his house. So we walked, and we took like three buses to go there. This is Artemio. This is another brother, Everasto from Manbridges. I want to mention this with this family is, let me see, the son that you can see, the first one, the son, the boy, the person, he's like 24 years old right now, but when at his age of 17 years old, he had an accident, a person with his car, I think he was driving a motorcycle, and due to the accident, he cannot walk very well. He cannot speak. He has discapacities, you say? Discapacities. And they live in a very poor conditions. I don't remember his name, but that's a beautiful person. We were praying a lot with this family. Then that's a typical store. Brother Felix traveled from other cities. And I think one of the purposes of this trip was to bring unity among all the workers, you know. And that's one of these pictures. They travel from different places and they strong their friendship. This is Nana Camilpa. Pastor Elia Ferrer, he has a special shop. Mm-hmm. That's in La Camilpa. We were on Friday giving some word to them. That's his congregation. This is the event on the street, the evangelistic event on the street. Five people came to Jesus in that event. That's on Saturday evening. That's Sunday morning, I think. This is Sunday evening with Sunday school. Deb was sharing some English teaching. This is another family, Alejandro. Alejandro is another migrant worker with all his family. He's a Christian. Some of them, the whole family, are Christian. Others are not Christian. But there, Pedro is a Catholic person, but he was there. Pedro and his family. Bernardo, a young man, like 26, 27. He lived close to Nada Camilpa, so Devin still went to that place. We couldn't go. These are another families that we visited. And with Pastor Rivas and Pastora were... listening the testimonies and the big need about women's. It's so sad to know about Mexico. Ain't something that you must know. It's men's abuse about women's. And it's so sad. It's so sad. They are suffering a lot. A lot of women's, even Christian, impacted our life. Trust me, it's very sad. So we need to pray more about that. God change men's heart for them to be a good husband and father. We visited this another family. This is Pastor Abraham. He worked in a big hacienda, we call big hacienda, and the owner allowed him to raise the animals, like the pork, rabbits, and sheep he has. That's a nice place. He had three local missions with his wife. He support Pastor Elias. And that's the last day that we stay in Mexico because we canceled on, we were planning to come back on Sunday and we came back on Tuesday. But we took advantage and we were talking about the success of this trip. So thank you so much. And I hope you can understand better what we did. Dev? I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, everyone, that you've been able to say what you've been able to say, and good memories that were built, and the spread of the gospel. As you could hear, that several people, no, it was more than several, came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And as Christians, that's the fruit. That's what we want to see. We want to see also discipleship, and we want to see people grow in Christ. So, actually, I'm going to ask Pastor Luis to come up and help me with translation, because we have these people that are sitting in the third row that have sat through this so far without really understanding, and we want to give them a little bit of the word of what we've been talking about. So, I don't think he needs a microphone.
No.
So he'll just go stand by them and you'll hear this mumbling. So first off, I want to tell you how blessed we are to be able to be have the pastors that we have at this church, and that we sit under the word every week. And we can sit under the word during the week. And if we have any questions, we can come to our pastors anytime, and they will lovingly expand on the gospel. We are so blessed. And we are very privileged to be able to sit in these pews. We have such a privilege to be here. So many places across Central America and the world have no such place. And it's kind of heartbreaking. There's lonely men and lonely women across the world that don't know another believer in their community. That's pretty tough. That's a pretty tough way to live. We are so thankful for the men and the women that have come to us that are already believers. We're also very thankful for how many men and women have come to us and have accepted Jesus Christ under this ministry. We're so thankful to God that he's used Steve and I, very humble servants. I tell you that God picks people. I'm astounded that he picked Steve and I to be able to minister to these people, because it's him that does the work. It's him, his words. It's his other people of believers that come together. And I know I'm taking a little extra time here. We've had a lot to say. You as you can imagine, it's not easy to fit everything in a very short period of time. But please appreciate what you have here. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Cleo's vision. This is rather difficult for us to talk about, because I'm going to be fairly guarded in what I say, because we as a team haven't had time to debrief, as we haven't had time to talk to the pastors, we haven't had time to talk to elders or the mission committee. So I'm going to just give you, as briefly as I can, an idea of what it is that Cleo's vision is. And if Cleo has this vision, I'm sure others have this vision as well. But Cleo has a very distinct purpose. I should let you know, Cleo came to us as an unbeliever in 2003. It was just a year or so later he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He's gone through some rough times, but I tell you what, that man's on fire. He has a purpose for his life, and he does not hesitate to make it known. Philippians 4:7 says, "Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ." He, Cleo, has been asking for peace for his community. Mexico, many parts are violent. There's a lot of violence. We can talk to you about that. I'd like to refer to Mexico as the good, the bad, and the ugly. There's a lot of violence in homes. You walk down streets. I don't know how many of you have been able to actually get into the streets of Mexico. There's walls and there's gates. Typical in Guatemala as well. Homes are behind those gates. You can open doors to love. You can open doors to poverty. You can open doors to wealth. And you can open doors to violence. It's all there. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He has hope for peace in his community. He knows God can provide that. Romans 5:13, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with a joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So hope through the Holy Spirit is something that is truly believed in by Cleo and Teo, his brother. John 15:7, "If you abide in me," we heard this morning, "if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Cleo has a big wish list. He knows the community desperately needs Jesus Christ. He knows that there is no hope without Jesus Christ. He knows that the culture of Catholicism is deceiving people. And he knows that the future of the children depends on Jesus Christ. So his view, his vision is he has a lovely home. And actually, after a full day, many days in a row, every evening when you go there, it feels like a sanctuary. Am I correct? It's a sanctuary. It's a place of peace. Cleo wants to produce it in his home, and he wants it to spread. He has a building lot beside him, and Romelio is his son. And he's the one that has the cookies. And he also makes tapioca pudding and carrot cake, which he sells to shops and to school cafeterias. And so that's the start of his business. Cleo has he wants to build a little cafe, more in a Parisian atmosphere. And but what he would love from this church, who he values so much, he gives so much credit to Forest Baptist Church. And what he wants to do in the next couple of years is he's going to be building this cafe, and above it, he's going to be building rooms for missionaries to come and stay. He wants people to come at will as a place to relax, but also to provide hope for his community, to demonstrate that. So students would be welcome. Older couples would be welcome. Young couples would be welcome. Anybody is welcome into his home. And right now he has 4 bedrooms. We all stayed there. We were welcome. We were cared for unbelievably. Down the street is building lots and homes that are sitting empty at this very point in time. People have been building on speculation because Xochitepec is not far from Cuernavaca and Mexico City, and they people are willing to come out and spend their weekends relaxing in this quieter portion of the city, of the country. So there are, every day, I'll just switch gears here a little bit. I taught English, surprisingly, to adults and children. I was surprised. I even had a student who was a math teacher at the school. So they learned quickly. They were very eager. Everything we did, we brought in Jesus. Every day they heard about Jesus in the words that were spoken and that they learned. So it was very much a step in the right direction. As far as Cleo's vision is, he would like it if people would come and teach English. If you know someone, or you know someone, of course, we're looking for people with, as believers, to go and teach the word, and teach words in English. If they don't have 2 languages, there isn't much hope. The children need 2 languages to be able to grow. So that's about all I'm going to say right now. I am wrong. Cleo. He lives this. Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's how he lives. And that's how he reaches out to his community. May God bless him. May God bless the work that he's doing there. And we thank you, each and every one of you, for the support that you've given, whether through prayer, financially, no matter how you've helped, driving cars, driving these gentlemen and ladies around, no matter what you've done, food, whatever it might be. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you. And Cleo and his family really appreciate you.
I just wanted to add something about Pastor Elias in Nanakamilpa. He is very, very, very aware of the domestic violence issue in his community. He was writing a paper for his university degree prior to ordination processes on that very topic. Somebody got wind of what he was doing, and he had a visit one night at his door from a half a dozen men said, "You stop or we stop you." He had to drop the paper. He's got 2 teenage children. His church, he has been steadily building his church, the congregation, the sanctuary was full when we were there. As Luis mentioned, they're right now looking at purchasing a rather significant piece of property across the street to have a Christian school to change the face of the community, the character of the community with Christianity. He is also developing classrooms on the second floor of the church for children. And for studies, they're putting in a full commercial kitchen to develop a feeding center for hungry children. He has a big vision A lot of people there don't share that vision. They like things the way they are. So please pray for Elias and his family. Elias Ferrer, Abraham, you saw from the hacienda, that's his brother. Half the town is related to him, but he still feels the pressure of intimidation. His son is in the army. His daughter is a school teacher. Those are the children from his first marriage. His first wife passed away. He has another son and daughter at home. I think they're 13 and 12 or 14 and 12. Daughter's 12. The son is 14. And I met him 10 years ago. He impressed me, obviously. I would love to partner with him in his project to help that town. Alejandro, the reason we're close to Nanakamilpa is four of the first migrant workers that we had come here in the first couple of years are from that town and from in that vicinity. I just wanted to add that to what Deb had said, that there's big visions there, and I think they need a hand up with it, and we'll be investigating possibilities to work to that end in the future.
Well, thank you for the coming and for blessing us this evening and sharing what it is that the Lord has done with you and opportunities to go forward. So I'm going to end our service.